Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Saturday, August 13th, there's been a third phone call between Pope Francis and the President of Ukraine. India's first Dalit cardinal ever speaks to Vatican News, and 3 days of mourning being observed after shootings in Montenegro. In the Vatican, I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov. In a phone conversation on Friday, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky thanked Pope Francis for his prayerful closeness to Ukraine as the nation endures ongoing aggression by Russia. Zelensky broke the news on the phone call himself in a tweet. Their conversation came as part of the Pope's often expressed solidarity with all the Ukrainian people. Lisa Zangarini reports.
During the phone call, Pope Francis and President Zelensky spoke of the horrors being suffered by the Ukrainian people since Russia invaded in February, and the Ukrainian president expressed his gratitude to Pope Francis for his constant prayers. In his tweet informing of the conversation, Zelensky said that the Ukrainian people need support from the world's spiritual leaders who should convey to the world the truth about the horrific acts committed by the aggressor in Ukraine. Shortly after, in a separate tweet, the Ukrainian ambassador to the Holy See, Andriy Yurash, reiterated the news of the telephone conversation, adding that the Ukrainian state and society will be happy to greet the Holy Father, expressing hopes for visit by Pope Francis to Kiev. The Pope and the Ukrainian president have spoken twice before by phone and video call. Speaking to the Italian parliament on March the 22nd, President Zelensky spoke about his conversation with Pope Francis, adding that the Holy Father had said very important words. In a previous phone call on February the 26th, 2 days after Russia's invasion, Pope Francis expressed his deepest sorrow for the tragic events that are taking place in the country. Shortly afterward, President Zelensky said he thanked the Pope for praying for peace in Ukraine and for a truce, adding that the Ukrainian people feel his spiritual support. I am Lisa Zangarini.
Later this month, Pope Francis will elevate 20 to the status of cardinal. Among those receiving the red hat will be the first ever Dalit cardinal, Cardinal-elect Anthony Pula of Hyderabad, India. Derived from Sanskrit, the word Dalit means broken or downtrodden and refers to those so low in social status that they are considered outcast or outside the four-tier caste system of Hindu society. Often referred to as untouchables, these people have been greatly exploited and subject to atrocities. Ahead of the consistory, I spoke to Cardinal-elect Pula, who granted a wide-ranging interview to Vatican News. The caste system in India technically has been abolished, but what really is the situation on the ground?
Especially the caste system abolished, we can say, but there are some social factors where we cannot completely say that they have been abolished. There are some differences. Years ago, there was not possibility for Dalits and untouchable to the access of goods. Now, the greater opportunities are given to the marginalized, poor and Dalits. We also respect and encourage the poor people to go to school and pursue studies. Once they have studied and they become well-educated, they are looking for rights. So sometimes when someone is from particular region, they say he is not local. And these are all jealousies among human nature. I think we rise above those kind of situations and try to bring equality among all the people.
In your ministry, what is something that has left a lasting impression for you?
My intention was to help as many poor children as possible as a parish priest. This was a beautiful moment for me. And all my life, I have been a simple priest, simple missionary, where there are poor people, where we need to attend to their need.
How do you interpret Pope Francis having chosen the first Dalit cardinal in history?
I understand, you know, so from the time Pope Francis has taken office, he has been, what I understood personally, his love, compassion, and reaching out to the periphery. the poorest of the poor. That's what he also widely spoken, gave a strong message that a poor church for the poor. I see the concern of the Holy Father to the people of all in the universe. And in a special way, I think this may be a situation where Pope is expecting me to serve the poor, needy, marginalized, and also Dalit. As a shepherd, it is my responsibility to take care of all the people that is entrusted to me, fulfilling my duty and responsibility.
That was Cardinal-elect Anthony Pula, who will become the first ever Dalit cardinal in history at the Pope's consistory for the creation of new cardinals later this month in our interview for Vatican Radio. Also making headlines, facing a climate of government hostility toward the church, Nicaraguan Bishop Rolando Alvarez led a special rosary for peace in the country, bringing together the faithful online and via social networks. Another priest in the country reported that authorities have blocked him from leaving his parish, and authorities also banned the procession of Our Lady of Fatima in Managua. Thaddeus Jones tells us more about the situation.
Bishop Rolando Alvarez of Matagalpa led the recitation of the rosary on Thursday via live streaming from the city's Episcopal Curia, with the opening words, "Thank you for being with us, gathered around the Blessed Mother, Our Lady." Bishop Alvarez entrusted to Our Lady the prayer intentions of the many who shared them with him in recent days. He thanked them for their signs of friendship, affection, goodness, and mercy. And he added, as a gesture of gratitude in communion with the saints, in spiritual communion with one another, "We will offer the Holy Rosary for all of you, for all those here via this device." And he was showing his mobile phone that have sent their prayer intentions to me. The bishop also invited the people of God to pray together through social media on this eighth day when we're gathered and blocked in at our Episcopal Curia in Matagalpa, he writes. He added, "Thank you for your letters, for your text messages, and let us place our trust in the Blessed Virgin that she may always intercede with her beloved Son, Jesus Christ." And at the end of the celebration, the bishop thanked the faithful for their participation via social networks and recalled that August 12th celebrations will include the Way of the Cross and the Holy Eucharist as part of the National Marian Congress underway. Bishop Alvarez also sent a tweet writing that, "We're in God's hands. We wish to do His will and everything for His glory. Amen." In other developments, police blocked another priest in his parish, adding to the tense situation in Nicaragua. On Thursday, Nicaraguan authorities are reported to have blocked Father Anibal Manzanares from leaving his parish of San Jose, located just in the northern part of Matagalpa. The police issued another law enforcement measure that the Archdiocese of Managua communicated to priests and faithful regarding the authorities banning the Marian procession initially set for the morning of August 13th. Given the political crisis in Nicaragua, the bishops' conferences in Latin America and the Caribbean have raised their voices to show that the Nicaraguan people are not alone in facing this difficult reality, and they've expressed their solidarity and closeness. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
The Holy See's permanent observer to the Organization of American States, or OAS, has expressed its concern over the political unrest in Nicaragua. Speaking about the situation on Thursday, Monsignor Juan Antonio Cruz Serrano, the Holy See permanent observer, noted that the Holy See cannot fail to express its concern in this regard. He added that the Holy See appeals to the parties to find ways of understanding based on respect and mutual trust, seeking above all the common good and peace. Other headlines focus on Montenegro. Montenegro is mourning at least 11 people killed in a shooting that shocked the tiny Balkan nation. Stefan Bost reports on the recent violence.
Police try to keep shocked bystanders at a distance here in Montenegro's city of Cetinje, west of the capital Podgorica. Investigators are still seeking answers as to why a 34-year-old gunman massacred nearly a dozen people in this city, which was once home to the picturesque Adriatic nation's former royal capital. Officials say the man, who was only identified by his initials VB, first killed three members of the same family following a dispute. He then left and fatally shot seven residents using the same hunting rifle. Authorities say the gunman was killed while police searched for him. State prosecutor Adriana Nastic recalls that among those killed was a mother and her two children, staying at a shooter's house. She explains that when she and her team arrived, they saw 9 dead bodies, including 2 children. Nastić says that another 2 passed away on their way to the hospital. The prosecutor adds that a civilian killed the shooter after media initially reported that police had shot the gunman dead. Officials said that another 6 injured people are treated in hospital. Prime Minister Dritan Abasovic declared 3 days of nationwide mourning, saying he wanted to invite all the citizens of Montenegro to be with the families of the innocent victims. And Montenegro's president Milo Djukanovic said he was, in his words, deeply moved by the news of the terrible tragedy in Cetinje, calling for solidarity with those who lost loved ones in the attack. Friday's violence could not come at a worse moment for the country. It is in the middle of its highly anticipated tourism season following 2 years of the coronavirus pandemic. The shootings also come while the tiny Balkan nation seeks to join the European Union in the coming years. The country of just over 600,000 people already entered the Western NATO military alliance in 2017. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
Several people have died in anti-government protests in Sierra Leone. Vatican News spoke to Bishop Natale Paganelli in Sierra Leone.
It's an unfortunate situation, very sad for the country. There was a civil war in Sierra Leone, more than 10 years of civil war. After 20 years, exactly, we are again in trouble. But we need to consider that the country, unfortunately, is divided in 2. The north and the western area, Freetown, is dominated by one party, south and east by another party. The first is APC, the second SLPP. This is the origin of the conflict in Sierra Leone, because it's fighting for power, for the control of the country. I hope we will be able to dialogue, to look for the good of the country and to reach an agreement between the 2 parties. Of course, the situation became very difficult with the increment of the cost of life, which every country, also in Italy, my country, the cost of life is higher now. But in a poor country, when the price of rice is going up too much and the parents cannot afford to buy a bag of rice for the family, become a problem. Also, the unemployment of the youth is another big problem, but till now no government was able to solve this problem because there are no factories in the country. But I believe the main problem behind this is the political confrontation between these 2 parties. People have a right to tell, to express their concern. For that, there is, in my opinion, mistake in both sides. Sometimes the police use too much force and the people too aggressive. In my personal opinion, really, we need to find somebody who is able to call the stakeholder of the country and to sit down and to find a solution of this terrible problem. Because you can change the government, but the situation remains. If we are not able to start a very deep dialogue, sincere, honest dialogue between the north and western area and south and east.
That was Bishop Natale Paganelli in Sierra Leone speaking to Vatican Radio. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Thank you so much for joining us today. Have a good day and see you next time.